Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We welcome you to join us tonight at this 7 o'clock hour as we endeavor to engage in meaningful and instructional conversation to not just a local but a national audience. Building Families and Communities Institute is a research arm of a Nashville, Tennessee-based nonprofit, Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. And our task, our objective, is to educate, to empower, and to solve the problem across urban America that is confronted by at-risk African-American males who are so frustrated that they're willing and ready to not only take out themselves, but to annihilate a whole community. We welcome you to join us here tonight in our dialogue. In a dimly lit room sits a male dressed in typical garb of a Ku Klux Klansman. Across the table from him sits an African-American male with his head cocked ace-deuce to the right, dark T-shirt, jeans on. Next to the gentleman dressed as a Klansman is a butcher knife. And next to the young man dressed as a street thug is a 9mm pistol. But centered between both of them is a checkerboard with parts or with men on the board, some white and some black. The two gentlemen are not looking at each other. They're not looking at their weapons, but they're focusing on the checkerboard in front of them, wondering what's the next move. It seems lately that every day people are posturing themselves for a battle with or against something or someone. The easiest excuse to go to battle is the difference and the next man's skin color, looking like they're the object of my aggression. Particularly, young people are most confused about the origin and the direction of their frustration. Perhaps the real enemy is ignorance and apathy toward others. Tonight, we're going to talk about overcoming the battle in my mind. That's where we are, overcoming the battle in my mind. You can call us here at 657-383-0944 and join the dialogue live here on Talk Straight. I see that we have our callers in queue, our regular panel, Pastor Ricky Wallace with us tonight, and we'll hear from him and others who have joined us tonight. I believe Nicole is here, and we look like we have some other callers in queue. We're going to get to you in just a few minutes. For those of you that may be new to the show, I offer a monologue, about 10 to 15 minutes, maybe shorter. And the purpose of that monologue is to give us context for our conversation as we go through tonight. And so I hope that we'll get something. And so without any further ado, we will go ahead and start that monologue and thank all of you. I want to thank my Facebook friends as well for joining us and encourage you to stay with us and call in. All right, having said that, again, we're talking about overcoming the battle in my mind. Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 7 reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being formed in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I want to begin by talking about the psychology of battle, okay? And if you really want to understand how war goes, look at some folk, men, white men, black men, who's engaged in war historically for a long period of time. And I hope that it will bring some context and understanding to this battle of the mind that we're going to discuss tonight in urban America. All right? So during the battle between the Persian Empire and ancient Egypt in 525 BC, Persian forces used cats and other animals as a psychological tactic against the Egyptians, because they knew the Egyptians had this religious thing about harming cats and animals. They realized we can outslick them because we know where their heart is. It was a battle tactic. In the 13th century AD, Genghis Khan, the leader of the Mongolian Empire, he defeated the will of his enemy by having those that he attacked consent to settle before he went on a major attack against them. Okay? In other words, he tried to talk them out to fight before they got to fight. Well, how did he do that? At night, Kong would have operations in place where he ordered each of his soldiers to light three torches at dusk to give the illusion of an overwhelming army and deceive and intimidate those that he was fighting against. He also at times had objects tied to the tails of his horses. So when they rode through town or they rode into battle, it would cause a stir up of smoke and dust, which made it seem like it was more people coming than what really were. Then his soldiers would use arrows that were specially notched so that there was a whistle in the arrow when it flew in the air, creating a terrifying noise. And anytime somebody talk about Genghis Khan coming, man, psychologically, he had them whooped already because they scared. The start of modern psychological operations in war is generally dated to the First World War around 1913. At the start of the war, the belligerents, especially the British and the German, began to distribute propaganda, lies on paper. Are y'all walking with me? And as they distributed this propaganda, they had advantages because it allowed them to succeed in battle for putting their opinion out over their competitors. And this became a very successful system or a tool of weaponry against their enemy because it let the rest of the world have an opinion about the enemy that may not have been true. Okay? So they got international support for cross-cultural communication, and they control basically the flow and the dictates of battle. In 1939, Adolf Hitler was influenced greatly by the tactics used in World War I. Okay? And he said, listen, I'm going to use that. So what he started doing is dropping propaganda lies and what have you in poverty-ridden Germany to encourage these people who were already decimated by the First World War. You know, they started the war in the first place, and they were forced to pay prebends for starting that war. But Hitler said, you know what? They did y'all wrong. Put out a bunch of lies, and because many people really didn't understand what was going on beyond their little communities and neighborhoods, and start to convince folks that he was right and everybody else in the world were wrong. In fact, he went so far as to make himself out to be some sort of charismatic grand leader, and it encouraged these poor people to come to arms and to go to war and to take on the battle and to start a battle with the rest of the world. He called his movement the Third Reich, and it convinced all these folk that it was worth them dying for an idea that he propagated off a lie, but it was a war tactic. The United States ran an extensive program of psychological warfare during the Vietnam conflict, fought from November 1st, 1955 through April 30th, 1975. When members of the PRG, as they were called, were assassinated, which was a group there, the Central Intelligence Agency and Special Forces operatives placed playing cards in the mouths of the deceased. These people represent the Vietnamese. They also use types of or tapes of distorted human beings that are being tortured, basically, and played them in the air so that Vietnamese soldiers would think about them before they went to war against American forces. This would cause them to think twice before they came to the battlefield. Today, particularly in urban America, there's a major conflict going on. To understand the cause of this conflict, one should only consider the powerful influence of the mass media, social practices that are passed through law and legislation, the strength of economic conditioning, the haves and the have-nots, and what drive them to act accordingly. Religious differences from denomination to denomination. I can't get with you because we don't share the same path to heaven. The deprivation that has caused many young people to have a low self-esteem and to give up on themselves and to decide that if I got to be in this state, somebody else going to feel my pain, hence the conflict. Now, sometimes it's against the white man. Then other times it's male and female against one another, fighting over some garbage. If it ain't that, then they mad at the police or other authority figures. When they're not mad at them, then they're mad at somebody who don't agree with them, who's got an opposing view. When that ain't good enough, then they're at their brother's or sister's throat, ready to eliminate so-called threat. When all the smoke is clear, someone is in the grave and another one in the jail. The devil got a two-for-one. When everybody is at one another's throats and the neighbor has been run clean out of the neighborhood, there's completely nobody now who trusts anyone. When you're relegated to the fear and anger of the solitude within your own mind, the only person you can trust is you. You can't even trust your mama or your brother or sister. But you are lonely and isolated. Then you wake up one day and you realize that all the battles been going on in your head, as you were fighting and as you were swinging and as you were trying to kick and stomp, the only person you were really destroying was yourself. Furthermore, the only person that's going to win in a conflict, in a battle, in a war, is war itself. Let me open up the phone lines here to our listening audience. The number you can call is 657-383-0944. Grateful to have each and every one of you. Look like we have 413-0230. We have as well 3066. We'll refer to you by your numbers of your phone number, and unless you decide you want to introduce yourself to our listening audience. But Nicole, I believe you're here with me, aren't you? Is that you, Nicole? Nicole, is that you? All right.
Yes, sir.
Moving
I'm
on.
Here.
Pastor Wall, is that you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you speak on your phone? We can't hear you too well. Nicole, is that you?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. Let's get it now. We're introducing everybody in our conversation tonight. Caller from 850-3066, welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and you heard our monologue. Any comment at this point or questions you might have? Caller from 850-3066.
I'm here.
Okay. Are you there, sir, or ma'am?
I'm here.
Okay, any comment or question thus far? You've heard our monologue.
I heard it, not at the moment.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us. Feel free to jump in any time. 0230. I think he's coming back with us again. Welcome back again to our dialogue, sir. Any question or comment thus far at this point?
No.
Okay, all right. We're going to keep it moving. Nicole, thank you for joining us again. You heard what we were talking about. I know you in particular, Nicole, have been working online to try to deal with some of the predatory activities of individuals in these chat groups that are going after young children and what have you. When you really think about that battle, can you speak to that a little bit for me, Nicole?
It's kind of like a hurting feeling. It's very disturbing, and it's a situation where you got to be strong enough to not be like a snitch. It's not a snitch or anything like that. It's just you looking after somebody else's child, and you got to treat people how you want to be treated.
I see.
Because some of these parents might not know their kids is on this line, you know, and being credified by these older guys or anything like that.
Right. I noticed you said you were concerned about being labeled as a snitch. If someone is hurting you or yours, does that apply?
No, it don't.
Okay.
But you know, the society we live in, they call it snitching, but it's not snitching.
Yeah.
It's helping one another out.
Okay.
Because if you... go ahead.
Nicole, I've been black all my life, and I've been hearing that term snitch since I was a boy. And I know it's people that are low down and dirty that want to do wrong and don't want nobody to call them out. So they label you a snitch so you'll be quiet. But at the end of the day, they're the ones that are causing the battle. They're part of the problem. And now the deal is, if it's my brother that's doing wrong, I'm going to tell you, man, you need to cut that out, bro. That ain't right. Now,
yes.
Not only will I stitch, but I hit. Because if you hurt me, I'm going to have to stop you from hurting me. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's... Pastor Waller, what about that? Is that a healthy thing to bind to this snitch concept?
I'm listening, and I'm thinking about some of the things that I heard you say in the monologue earlier. And
okay.
What I got out of that is this. I mean, you said something that was so common about the scripture. You know, and you know.
Hold on 1 second, Pastor Waller. Mm-hmm. Hold on 1 second. Someone has a TV or something on in the background, and we can hear that, and it's kind of interfering with us hearing the other callers. If you don't mind, can you silence that or turn it down a little bit? Okay, I apologize, Pastor Waller. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, and I like the scripture that you utilize, because having realized that I didn't know anything about the scripture versus knowing about it as you spoke, and you said, let this mind be in you,
mm-hmm.
which was also Jesus. Now,
right.
In order for that to take place, that means I have to be seeking for that to be,
okay.
according to what the scripture says. I mean, it's no way I can apply that unless I learn that. And then
Absolutely.
You went on to further see who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And someone
yes,
would argue about that. Well, how are you going to say that you equal to God? Now, if you follow the instructions and, you know, you're doing things according to the will of God, there would be no reason to have to snitch on no one if you're walking according to his will. And that means that, you know, all times a person don't even have to snitch on people now, man. I mean, that's just the way it is. People tell on themselves about doing a lot of things and a lot of things going on. I've seen it, and I understand the generation today is having such a tough time, but the trap does not exclude ignorant people. I mean, I was that ignorant individual. It didn't exclude me from walking in the trap and think that I was doing something and getting away with it. But all the time, I was telling on myself. I was displaying my own self out there doing what I was doing. So I never, you know, carry out the word snitcher. I wasn't affiliated with it or anything like that. But did that stop someone from spending on me? No. You know,
right.
it happened and it continued to happen. But when we get out
here,
lives up with the will of God, as I just heard you read that, man, I can only see, you know, lives being restored. So that's what I like to be able to look at, you know, is the solution to the big time problem that we
right.
are continuing to have. And I think that, you know, you bring it to the table tonight. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I mean, how many of us are doing that? How many of us are practicing?
Well,
I know I'm guilty because I wasn't there.
Right.
No, I was not there.
So you do know, Pastor. Go ahead, Nicole. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nicole.
I want to add a scripture that that God gave me in my spirit about this situation.
Okay.
He said, in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, the 5th verse,
mm-hmm.
it says, does not improperly, and it's not selfish, it's not provoked, and it does not keep a record of wrong. So, to me, I'm not trying to keep a record of nobody's wrong. I'm just trying to do what's right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
Now, let me say this, Pastor Wallen and Sister Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
When we are dealing with individuals who literally are in a psychological battle, and I think oftentimes they think it's against something or someone else, but really, when you process them, they'll find out that they're fighting within themselves. Something about them is not happy. It's not whole. And that's really what's got them on edge. Oftentimes, beloved, they really don't want to hear about what I'm talking about in Philippians, the 2nd chapter.
Exactly.
Man of Christ. Man of Christ.
That's right.
Man, I got my own
That's
man.
Right.
Huh?
That's right.
They're really not trying to hear that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, so the question becomes, if we're going to help those individuals too. See, See, it's easy for folk that say, I want to help, I want to be a stakeholder in my community. It's easy to go along with people that are easy to deal with, that are agreeable. But when you got somebody who is the root of the problem, I mean down at the bottom of the barrel, it stank down there. That's where all the germs are. Can you go down there with the same fervor, the same love, and the same hope and help those individuals, right? Because in the deep recesses of your mind, what folk are looking for is somebody to understand, I'm in darkness here, and I'm scared. It's so dark.
Right.
Is that an unreasonable thought there?
No, it's actually valid. You know, I would say, and the reason why I say it's valid is because there are people that don't know anything about the mind of Christ. And I said being ignorant, that was me. I was that ignorant individual.
Sure.
And if you told me she's ignorant, then that means that, you know, we get ready to be into it because you're telling me I'm ignorant. But when I
That's
came
right.
to myself and realized that I was ignorant, and the Word of God is saying that, I mean, I had to learn how to be okay with that and say, now that I'm familiar with that I was ignorant, I no longer want to be ignorant anymore. And that's
okay.
the reason why I had to change my mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because what the enemy loves when a person is trusting themselves. And, you know, it's easy access if I'm trusting myself. The devil knows he got me off the top because
right.
I'm trusting me. I don't have no guide.
Right.
I don't have no instruction. I'm just going according to what I see and what I hear. And, you know, that's what a big-time trap is, man. So, yeah,
right.
it'd be a beautiful thing if we knew about that scripture. It'd be a wonderful thing. But how do we get to know about those scriptures, though? I still say...
That's a great question.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Let me do this for Nicole. Nicole, you and I were talking off air the other day, and I really got a sense of your passion for ministry and outreach, right? I wanted to share with you the Temptations, a song they have entitled "Ball of Confusion," and I think it best describes what I was trying to get at in the monologue. In terms of this environment that is instigated by all kinds of things that drive people to behaviors unconsciously. And at the end, they come up short. Give me just a few minutes here, and then I want to ask you a question about that, Nicole, if you don't mind. And just a second here. We're pulling it up now. Nicole, you there?
Yes, I'm
Nicole,
here.
Are you
I
there?
Be having to. Oh. Yes, sir, I'm here. I be having to mute my
All
phone because right. I got to deal with my kids.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I understand. I appreciate that. You heard what the Temptation says. Nobody is talking about love but the preacher. Nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. If the students
mm-hmm.
don't want it, then what good is it, Nicole? If the people you come to help and you want to change, if they don't want it, are you wasting your time?
In so many words, yes.
What?
But I don't think so. I don't. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me. Hello.
Yeah. Take your time. Take your time.
Let me be clear. It might
okay.
not come right then and there. It might not come right then and there, but it will come. So you, I don't think you're wasting your time. I just think you're planting a seed, and you're going to watch it water, watch it grow. You know what I'm saying?
So you can't become frustrated. Is that what you're saying?
You know, I can't say you can't become frustrated because you are going to be challenged with a lot of obstacles, but at the same
yes,
time,
ma'am.
You can't be able to get through it.
Because
if you might
not get I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought, Nicole. Go ahead.
Because you might not reach the whole 2,000, but you might reach
yes.
at least 20 of them out of that, and that's still good enough.
You know, sometimes, Nicole, we say, I did all of that for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, if your heart is right, you did it because you care. So it wasn't for nothing, was
exactly.
it? Now, even though things didn't quite come out like you wanted them, your intentions were pure and you were trying to make a difference. But I got at that, Nicole, because I'm convinced more and more now that one of the problems is that when we say we want to help people, we don't understand
mm-hmm.
what's going on in their mind. And until you stop and let a person tell you where they are and where their
mm-hmm.
mind is, it'll be hard for you to be patient enough, you know, to deal with that. Does, 0230, would you agree with that, that position, or you have any other another thought about that?
Yes. I mean, in order to teach, you've got to be able to listen and
mm-hmm.
learn at the same mm-hmm. time.
Okay. Okay.
And
okay.
Yes, you might get dazed and confused because the people that you're trying to reach seem like they're not hearing you. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times in reality, they are hearing you. but you got to convince
right.
them now to come over to your side.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know what, though, caller? I think a major factor as to whether or not they want to even fool with you is how you come. And I noticed that people always come with their Bible, with their cross, and they scream in Jesus, Lord God, but they can't trust you as an individual first. You don't look
right.
trustworthy as a man. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's almost as if that's another manipulative tool like those other warriors did to try to get in the mind of their enemies. This is, we have to make sure that people understand it's a choice. Salvation is a choice. It ain't nothing that you should be forced into. You got to make up in your mind that you want to be saved. Because if you
right.
don't, we're in trouble. We're wasting our time with each other. 3066, any comment?
Well, not at the moment.
Okay, all right, all right. Thank you again for joining us. Okay, all right, good deal,
Hello.
Good deal, good deal. So, here's the thing, Pastor Waller, here's the thing. At the end of the day, folks who are in a battle, a psychological struggle with themselves and with other people, they have nothing to lose, right? So,
right.
is it, can we, let me, I'm trying to see how to phrase this right. Do we have any room to take it personal, Pastor? Let me tell you where I'm, let me just go where I'm going, okay? There, I've known preachers, Pastor Waller, who have said
mm-hmm.
those people ain't worth nothing, they don't want nothing, and I'm sick and tired of wasting time with them. I ain't going out my way, and I ain't gonna put myself in harm's way for them. Are you with me, Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
Can you
yeah.
take it personal when people don't hear like? Like 0230 was saying, when they hear you, but sometimes they playing blind, crippling, crazy on you. Can you take that personal?
Yeah, I understand the language. I mean, I really understand their language when they say that. They, you know, they just
right.
remind me of that. They're not thinking about having the meaning of Christ. You know, for those that are doing, or those that would say that, and you know, according to what I've learned, I didn't pretend that I was on God's team when I was doing the will of the enemy, and so I had
okay.
no knowledge about the word, so I couldn't say anything about the word of God. But now that I do,
okay.
I shouldn't exclude myself from knowing and being able to
right.
put it out there. You don't be ashamed of the gospel. Okay, so let's just say it says, let those that be ignorant, let them be
mm-hmm.
ignorant. You know, if a man
okay.
want to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. What about, okay, that's fine, good. But what about when he says something about the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few?
Mm.
So it's only a few people
right.
have concern. And that
right.
way, you know,
right.
when they say things like that, I understand their language. I'm not going out there, is what they'll say. I'm, in other words, I got mine. Let them get theirs. And that mentality is not lined up with the mind of Christ. You see,
absolutely.
No one is considering themselves being out there with someone out there captured and say, hey, man, somebody come out here and give me a hand. Nobody is able to put themselves out there that's saying things like that. They're already convinced that I'm going out there and they ought not be out there no way. That type of talk, you know, and that's, to me, forgetting about the lost, man. You know, he says, look up on the field. In other words, lift up your eyes. Look up on the field. They are already white, all ready for harvest. People are crying out in the field. And all somebody that know the will need to do is to lift up your eyes. You can't miss them. They're out there. And every now and then, an encouraging river just fine. So that's just, you know, something. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Pastor. A lot of times, you know, in this walk, I've experienced some things that reminds me of that saying that you just made mention of. And if one is not careful, you can easily say, well, since they say they're not worth going out there, I might as well just feel right in with what they're saying, you know, and just forget all, you know, put in effort. And just when you stop reaching out, someone was probably thinking he was going to come through and say, I'm ready to turn my life over now. I mean, I've been seeing him out here for a while, but all of a sudden I don't see him out here anymore. And because he done fell into that same talk that them people are talking about, what is out there?
Right.
No way. You see how that can be, man? You got to be mindful of what you say in front of people, man. You just may cause a person to stumble, you know?
Brother Malcolm
said,
if you're not a part of the solution, you are part of the problem. I think that rings true today.
I'm agreeing with that. That's right.
I mean, Nicole, I'm not picking on you. I'm not picking on you because you know you're my friend, don't you?
Most definitely. I'm not worrying about it.
Okay.
Can I
shoot at you like this? You and
I ain't worried about nobody.
Huh?
I ain't worried about nobody picking on me.
All right.
Okay.
Nicole, you're in a 6x6 room with a 14-year-old African-American female who fights everybody that says anything to her. In fact, she cut her own mouth. Okay? It's a very, very, very dim light in that room that you both have. She told you, I'm going to cut you before you leave here. What do you do, Nicole?
What do I do?
Yes, ma'am. I told you I ain't picking on you. I ain't trying to put you on the spot. I'm just, you understand.
Nah.
I'm
you good? You okay? You ain't put me on no spot. I'm good.
Okay.
First of all, I'll try to talk to the girl and tell her that, you know, you disrespecting your mama, your day shall not be longer, or you shall not inherit none of the things that you should, that your heart is designed, because it's going to be hard. It's like a curse, because I've been there. So that's not good.
Okay.
You know, I would try to talk to her and tell her what they said to Lord, but if that don't work, and ain't nothing I can do about it.
You gonna let her cut you?
You gotta wait a minute. Come on. Wait a minute. You said, am I gonna let her cut me?
Yeah. Yeah, told you.
Am I gonna let her
cut you? That little 14-year-old girl with that knife in that 6x6 room with you.
No, she ain't gonna be able to cut me. By the power of God that I have on my life, she's not gonna be able to cut me.
Okay. All right. I got another call. Okay.
But what do you think? Because by the power of God, I have on my life.
Yes, ma'am. I'm gonna put myself in the box too, Nicole. But let me go to 615-3072. Welcome to Talk Straight. Question or comment?
I'm just tuning in, just getting off of work, and just listening in to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah.
So I was just. A question was placed on the floor. We used Nicole as an example, but it could be anybody. You found yourself in a volatile situation with a young person, and your task is to save them. You're locked in a room with them, though, and they bring the same thing they bring to the streets, to that confined environment where you are the only person that can save them. But their behavior is threatening to both of your existence. Either they're going to hurt you, or they're going to put you in a position where you may have to consider hurting them. It's kind of similar to the question we asked last night, or Tuesday night, Nicole, about your brother drowning out in the Atlantic Ocean. You understand what I'm saying? What to do with him. Pastor Wally, you want to take a stab at that before I go, or 0230, or call it at 3066? Anybody want to take a stab at how would you deal with that situation? Let's make it a young man that's out on the street, right? And he's threatening that he's going to take you out because he don't like having to be in that 6x6 room. What do you do?
Well, I mean, as I've learned and I've applied so many times in my life, you have to meet people where they are. However, you have to be smart enough. I worked for Department of Corrections several years ago, and we were always taught in a situation like that to relinquish authority. So you don't want to come off as, hey, I'm bigger, I'm better than you, and, you know, you want to come in a loving and understanding way. So maybe then they can tone down and accept whatever you try to do or say.
Okay. Great deal. Now, they got that knife, and then they told they're going to cut you now, caller, 37-2. They're going to cut you. But, all right, I got your point. Anybody else want to take a stab at it?
I would pose the question.
Go ahead, 0230.
I would pose the question as to why he'd want to cut me, because I'm in the cell alongside him. I'm in the cell alongside him.
Come on,
and
man.
You cut me, that's going to be more time. And if you try to cut me, I'm going to defend myself, so you'll never cut anybody ever again.
Wow.
So we can either sit down and try and figure out what's going on, or you can do your best to try and cut me.
My lord. Thank you, man. I'm fired up now. But let me see if anybody else wants
to
weigh in.
Are you gonna explain to them? I was asking the caller if he was gonna explain, give that person that scenario. Hey, I want to sit down and listen to you. However,
that's what I said. If you don't hurt me, I gotta stop you.
Yeah.
Okay. You got some back noise there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I opened up by saying why would you want to cut me?
Right.
So I tried to get dialogue going.
So you see what he did, 37-2. He opened up a process question. Why?
Yeah.
And that means the young person have to think about it, right, and offer some explanation as to why they think it's necessary for him to be their object of aggression. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, 37-2?
Yeah, because some people always trying to be negative, have negative light in a positive environment.
Okay.
And that's how I feel about it, you know.
Sure, that can happen. That certainly can happen.
But I'm not going to stop my success.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So here we go, guys. Consider this. I'm sorry. Does anybody else want to weigh in before I go any further? Pastor Waller, how about you?
I think that's very good on how they was able to make known of meeting one where they are, you know, and then be able to, as it was asked, why would you want to cut me? You know, that's meeting them right there where they are, in spite of whether they were going to attempt to do it or not. The brother already recognized that, had to defend myself, but still he was reaching out. And, you know, in knowing that the person may not really want to cut the person, but it's just something that's been inflicted on that person, you know, I'm going to go back to the scripture because I stand on today. I don't trust me anymore, so I don't know what I might do. But I know according to the scripture, the Bible says that there was a man crying and cutting on himself day and night. The stone, I'm talking about, is a pain. So for him to cut somebody else wouldn't be no thing. He's cutting on himself already. He's in pain. And then by her reaching out to him, meeting him right where he is, and then his brother comes back and said, why would you want to cut me? It probably would do some good just knowing that was mentioned. Now, if he goes further on, you can't have to do what you need to do to defend yourself. You don't want to just stand up there and just say, stick me, you know, or nothing like that. So it would be an awkward position, Pastor. I don't know And they, even though I know I've changed my lifestyle and everything, I thank God for change, but some things I don't know have you changed yet. You know, that's not one of them I've changed yet. And so I don't know how I would act. I just know I don't trust me. I just know that.
All right. Wow. I like all of that. But I do want to go, I want to piggyback off of 0230's position, because I think that, and I like what 3072 was saying as well, but I think 032 was right in the place where we perhaps consider we need to be. There's an ancient warrior by the name of Sun Tzu, and he wrote 13 strategies for winning a war or a battle. One of the things he talked about is 0230. The individual in a battle that takes the first move is weak because they've come out of their what? Their stable point. So the person with the next move has the best chance of understanding why they move, how they move, when they move, and where their weakness is. Now, the first thing I would do, callers, is I would take that little dim light and I would blow it out. That put both of us on equal ground. We can't see nothing. All we can do is rely on what? Ear and conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I would come
yeah.
to where you are, 0230. Hey, little brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of us are in the dark. Both of us are hurting. Both of us in the blind here. Now, let's talk about how we can get at this box and go in the light. You can put your knife down and we can have a conversation. What
mm-hmm.
about that? What about that?
Yep.
See, that's the way it is in the hood on the street. The shorties think they're in control because they got a gun or a knife or a weapon, but what they don't realize is, homie, all of us struggling out here.
Well,
right.
I'm not your enemy. Go ahead, 30. Is that you, 30, 72?
I was just going to say, too, I mean, a lot of times we overlook people's cry for help. They
there
don't know
go.
How to say, hey, I need you to help me. Can anybody
right.
help me? No. So
right.
rather than doing that, and African-Americans, I must say, have it the worst.
Wow.
We'll come
right.
off ugly, snotty, nasty, rude,
wow.
mean, aggressive, you know, all of the negative things. Because why? Deep inside, we're scared, we need help, and we're hurting,
that's
but
it.
We can't tell anybody.
Amen.
That's right. Crying.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Crying out. That's it.
It's a defense mechanism, isn't it, 3072?
Mm-hmm.
It's a defense mechanism. I don't want you to
and
really
you know
how vulnerable. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to testify to that. I mean, younger, you know, coming up, I can see that as being part of me. The older I got and the more mature I got, I learned that, hey, there's actually people out there that want to help.
That want
a friend, that want to talk, that want, you know what I'm saying? So maybe if they were taught to, you know, tone it down a little bit, tone it down. You need some ass. A closed mouth don't get fed. But no, if we combat that with more negativity, nobody's learning nothing, and lives are being lost.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, I was in Chicago, and I was talking to a bishop about some of our strategies and how we might be able to help the Inglewood community. That's incidentally where most of the shootings are in Chicago
yeah.
area. And so what he was saying to me is, you know, everybody came in, he was describing how Farrakhan had been there, and everybody came in basically with their titles and what have you. And I was trying to get across to him, look, these guys don't care about your title, who you think you are. In fact, all it takes is for a second for them to snuff either one of our lives out. What we've
yep.
got to do is to understand their mentality, though, and the battle that they're fighting in their mind. You understand what I'm saying? And let's be clear
yeah.
about it. Let's be clear about it. One of the enemies, subconsciously, is whoever dropped the ball on me from childhood, who
yeah.
got me out of
yeah.
your home, got me on the ground, hustling in the streets, trying to make a living. I'm mad as hell at them. I'm looking for them, right? So So it don't matter who I am or they are. If you don't come with that understanding, you come up short from the get-go. It don't matter where you are in America. The same conditions are prevalent. And the truth of the matter is, if we're going to be successful at taking, we can't pity pat, we can't sugarcoat, we can't lie and smooth it over, we got to come real with it. Because that's where the little fellas are. And oftentimes, the only edge they got, the only edge they got is to take up a weapon and to blow smoke. But when you put the smoke out, what you got? Why do you think they grabbed the weapon in the first place? Because they didn't have confidence in their own ability to articulate or communicate their position. You were going to say something, Pastor?
Or even fight with their fist. They get their little
butt. Not anymore. They don't fight no more. They don't fight no more.
Because they can't. That's because they can't.
Right. Right. Now, I'm sorry, 37-2. Pastor Wallace was going to say something. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, you're right there, and I understand, man, it goes all the way back to, you know, what a person's mind is being told. You know, if I see something and it speaks to my mind, it's like a drug. It's like a drug. It's a controlled substance.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can be controlled by what he sees, you know, and all of a sudden they step into it, don't know that it's a trap. And a lot of people still believe
with order
that it's not a trap. But if you go into the Bible and it gives you an instruction that says that he would make a way for you to escape, why would he say that?
You know, why would he
must
say
that? Trap in order for you to escape, that means I need some guidance. And that's
what
I like about what she said earlier when she said meeting them where they are. The
power
of words and death is in the power of the tongue.
You
can only imagine being able to speak and meet someone right there with a knife in his hand, and then he's able to humble himself and receive the gratitude of someone really reaching out to him in such a way, and then his brother came back and said, why would you want to cut me? I mean, this is not something he wasn't retaliating, you know what I mean? You know how it is when you come at a person, they're trying to get back at you, and then there it is. It's as you said, two
for me. Right.
So how are we going to be able to escape that? Can we escape the two for one by not starting from the beginning? You know,
that's
where it's time for the solution. And
If I might piggyback off 030 was his point. What was powerful about his point is he's absolutely right. What he did was offer the young person, Nicole, another opportunity or another outlet, another way out. And that is talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
You might write about your level of frustration, and we're going to de-escalate this situation so that you'll have a chance for somebody to listen to you. See, the circumstances force you to listen to them anyway. Is that right, 0230?
He's got nowhere to go. Nothing but time.
Look, the best place you got to go is go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. 0230.
He can't run nowhere unless he's gonna run right into a wall. So he's gonna listen to me and I'm gonna listen to him.
Absolutely.
And we're gonna work it out.
That's where you got to go. See, that's what you got to win. But to fight, everybody's going to lose with a fight, with a physical scuffle.
Right.
But what you got to win is an opportunity, as you said, 0230, for us to have an agreement and walk out of this box, both of us alive, healthy, and well, and with understanding.
Right.
Oh, and man. Picture that. I mean, that's
man,
a solution.
Man, picture
me,
that,
huh? Yeah, this sounds like a solution to me, you know?
I'm going to ask, since 3072 is here with me, 3072, I want you to listen to the Temptations again, okay? Temptations again. And I want to ask you a question on the other side of this. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. A. The number is 657-383-0944. We still have time. Give us a call here. We'd love to have you join us in our live dialogue, and I would be remiss if I didn't recognize some of our friends on Facebook. Looks like Pastor Horton is checking in with us. Chief Shelton, as well as Ms. Consuela Bradley, welcome to our conversation, and thank you for joining us. And there are a few others, but having said that, 3072, I want you to answer this question for me when we come back in just a second here. Imagination. Do I have a right to be mad? And who should I turn my anger on?
What? Are we talking about a woman or life in general? What I'm trying to understand the nature of the...
You tell,
I mean, because it's just my imagination. I don't... Huh?
You tell me.
What'd you say?
I said, you tell me.
I'm telling you now, it's just my imagination because I don't have nobody enough. I can't answer that one. I got to pass.
Okay. Nicole, help me out now. Come on, Nicole, help me out. Come on, Nicole, give me some help here. Well, Nicole is coming. Welcome to the conversation, 615-1080. We're talking
what was
from
your
the topic
question?
Overcoming the battle in the mind. Nicole, I played The Temptations.
Mm-hmm.
It was just my imagination. And he described
mm-hmm.
how he looked out a window and saw a girl that looked so good to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was walking by, and then when he got up to reality, he realized there wasn't nobody there, Nicole. It was just imagination. I asked if I'm somebody who's been struggling, who's been fighting and in a battle, and I thought finally I was close to a win. When I got there, God dog, it ain't nobody there. That was just my imagination. Do I have a right to be mad, Nicole? And who should I turn my anger on?
Do you have a right to be mad?
Yeah.
Really, to be honest with you, you don't have the right to be mad because ain't nothing wrong with your imagination. You know, running wild. It don't matter if your imagination seen a pretty girl or not. Let it do what it do sometimes. You know, because maybe it be trying to teach us some things. And that's how I feel about it. Because
some stuff is good,
some stuff is bad, but it's up for us to make better decisions about our imaginations, even though it do play tricks on us, it do all kind of stuff.
Mm.
But still, that don't give us the right to give up or be angry or anything
now.
Like that, because you got to learn from mistakes, that's all.
Wow.
But
I like that.
I would think you should give some help, though, after the fact, you know? If
wow.
you see it too many more times.
Nicole?
I was just going to comment, Nicole.
What do you say? Go ahead, 3072. Go ahead, 3072.
I said I was going to comment, Nicole. I couldn't have answered it more better. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Nicole? I read
yes,
somewhere
sir.
That without a vision, a people would perish. Now, yes. now, Brother Williams, Eddie Williams was talking about a gal in the song, but it's applicable to real life.
Right.
You said it right, Nicole. Sometimes we see things and it's nothing but an optical illusion. And what I want to get at, the reason I raise the question, callers, is because what frustrates us oftentimes and what sends us to battle with other people is that we don't base what we go after on fact and reality, but only our imagination. Nick, can I say something to you? If it's worth you having, it's worth the struggle. It's worth you
That's
wanting.
Right.
Now, you got
Well,
people
I was going to say...
Hold on 1 second, Colin. You got people who want the finest things in life, but they don't want to put no work in.
That's right.
That's an obstacle.
Or they don't know how to achieve their goal.
Absolutely. Which is why we need someone who understands those processes to help us out. I'm sorry, I think it was 3072 who was trying to say something.
No, and I was just going to say, we are confused all the time by tangible imaginations. The ones that we can touch, they look and feel so real until that moment, that hour, the day where you realize, man, this was nothing more than an illusion, just not even real. You got people in the situation, but it was nothing like what you were dreaming, nothing.
Correct. Correct.
Wow.
You know, 0230.
Yeah.
I was speaking with some people about our model, right? And so the guy says, well, you don't have no place here, do you? We're going to need you to stay here in the city. I said, well, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to share with you information as to how you can take control over your solution. That's my job, is to provide you the wherewithal, the knowledge to do your own business. I'm not going to stay here and move and live in the city with you, but you have the resources. You just didn't know it. You have the human capital to make the difference for yourself.
Right.
You were going
to
say something?
He was looking for you to be there as a handout and help him accomplish that.
With all due respect,
saying, well,
you know. I'm sorry, go ahead. I cut you off.
Instead of doing the groundwork himself and looking to you as a mentor, he wanted you to feed him.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Now, certainly the model that we bring can be replicated anywhere. But in the truth, 0230, every situation, every environment has some different element to it. So you can't say that what we do in Nashville will automatically work in Florida, or it's going to automatically work in it's going to automatically work in New Orleans or Houston or Detroit or St. Louis or Chicago or Columbus, right? Because every one of those environments have their own unique challenges, but there are some basic principles that you can build upon. That's all I was really sharing with him. And I think he understood afterwards. No, we're not looking to come and stay here because you are here.
Right.
You are the hope for this community.
Right. There's certain blueprints that you can follow and customize them to how they suit your situation.
Hey. I wonder, though, Carly, are we afraid of that? Are we afraid of our own shadow sometimes?
Oh yes, very much so. And we as black people or people of color will sabotage ourselves before we even begin it.
Okay.
But that's a conditioning.
1080, welcome
that's
to the conversation. I'm sorry, go ahead, 0230, finish your thought.
That's a conditioning that's been instilled with us for hundreds of years. So it's hard to shake it.
Right. We're still waiting on somebody to tell us when to get up and go to the field, huh?
Man, I'll tell you something. A few years back, I actually left New York City to move away to Massachusetts to do an apprenticeship as a chef. And
okay.
In between that time, I actually marketed my own marinade barbecue sauce. And I would meet people. I marketed my own sauce.
Okay.
And people said, how you do that? How are you able to do that? I was able to do that because I wanted to do that.
That's why.
Hold on. 37 to 11. Finish. Go ahead, Carla.
That was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to learn how to do that to see if I could do that.
Right.
And people say, "Well, that's hard," and it's not hard. You learn how to do it, and you follow the avenues to get it done to bring it to market.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was your sauce, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. You weren't stealing nobody else's stuff. It's yours.
Not at all.
Okay. Let me go to 37-2. I believe that was her call. Go ahead, 37-2. What were you going to say?
Oh, that wasn't me. It must have been the other young lady.
Nicole, was that you?
I was just saying that's why, because you do have to, you know, they told me that I couldn't do a lot of stuff, but I done did a lot compared to what they said I couldn't do. So I just think, guys, you got to want to, and it might not be an overnight process, but you got to work at it constantly every day. You know, you got to go to sleep sometimes probably about 2 hours or something trying to get it together. But still, you as long as you get to a couple of hours of sleep, you get up, you as long as you meditate on it, you work at it, it'll move itself. Yeah.
All right.
Y'all say,
all right.
You know, y'all be saying, don't none come to a dream, but what?
Nothing come to a sleeper but a dream. That's all they gonna get.
Right.
So, that's true. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was going to give 1080 a chance. Any comments since you've been with us, or? Or ma'am, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
All right, well, thanks for joining. Any comment or questions so far?
I'm still trying to get the title. We'll discuss about it again.
We're talking about overcoming the battle in your mind. I began the show by explaining how there are young people in urban America who are fighting, but they don't even know who the enemy is. And what happens at the end of the day is they wake up realizing they destroyed themselves and everybody closest to them.
That's true, man. Yeah. That's a tough one, man. I don't know if I want to tap on that one the whole life, but hey, it depends on what's in front of you. You know, your parents got a lot to do with it. I feel like you can't go as far as your parents went. So, I mean, that's just. That was the hero, the heroic in your life, your parents, man. They set a stage where they feel like they can't accomplish. Of course, the child gonna feel like they can't do it. I mean, you gotta set stages out here, man. Damn, it's out here for your kids to live up. Some people go past these parents. I know a lot of people that go past these parents as well, but they kind of start with a lot of different stuff.
And you know, Paula, it's nothing wrong with.
You gotta be careful how you interpret. You know, you go to church and you listen to stuff. You know, I know they tell you to wait on God, but sometimes a lot of people wait too long. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be careful. Okay, you can sit there and wait 20 years and you'll be like, okay, now 50 years old, now I'm about to start moving. You've been waiting all your life, but you gotta be careful about they're tricky too.
Well,
you gotta be careful.
So,
okay, hold
Pastor
on,
Carl.
Waller. Pastor Waller, help me out now.
I'm listening, man. I'm listening. Yeah, okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you better now, go ahead.
And I'm going back to when we started out tonight about let this mind be in you that's also in Christ. That's where I'm at. And I know that, you know, we're talking about, I've been lied to for many years of my life. I mean, I've gained used to the lie. I embraced the lie. The life sounded good, it looked good, it felt good, and all of that. And so when you see something out of your window and it looks like it's something that it's not, you know, I'm right there and I understand that. But the Word of God does say, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, notice something. Right. Why would he say something like that? You know, to do those things that are not convenient. And then he says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And, man, you talking about believing a lie? That's a powerful tool, man. How can a person believe a lie? God say, I'm going to send you a delusion that you prefer the lie over the truth. And if I'm going to reject the truth, then I'm going to receive the lie. So which one am I going to do? That would be the question that I have to ask my mind. You know, I say, first I'm going to make sure that I don't trust me. So whether it's good, bad, right or wrong, whether you like me or not, I'm not going to trust me, not for a moment. And the only reason why it's like that, because I've trusted myself before and believed in lies, man, I mean, that was just laid out for me. You know, so you know, I'm listening, man. Yeah, I'm listening.
Can I?
Go ahead. Is that 3072? Yeah. Go ahead, 3072.
Yes, yes. I don't know. Is it 1080? Made a very good point, and I'm questioning now to Pastor Waller. Okay, so we know, like he said, you can't just sit back and wait for God to come out the sky. So how do you know? You know, what's for you that God is approving, or when you should go ahead and take that green light? I'm sure many people are confused about that.
That's beautiful.
How do you know?
She always coming. Yeah, she's coming correct, and I love that. You know, yeah, and I love that because she actually is making a lot of sense right there. When and how do you know? See, when a person is, and I'm going back to the lie. It's been living
come
a lie
now.
That doesn't sound like a lie. Been doing it for so long.
Come on now.
Come accustomed to it, and all of a sudden, change takes place. It may not have been when I was 13 or 14 or 20 or 30. It may have been when I was 50. But how many of you know what a difference a day makes? And at that time, it's still strange because I'm hearing a powerful voice says, go to church. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. Not no good way with what I'm doing. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to believe that I'm hearing somebody tell me to go to church. I know it's not the enemy that's telling me that. It was God speaking to me, said, go to church. He had something in store for me. He wanted me to receive something. So now sometimes it takes some time to get it. And once you get it and you receive it, you won't be ashamed of it. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And that's what happens.
Okay.
So she raised a great question. And that's sometimes, you know, they say it's never too late. How many of you know that's true? And God can give you the strength, give you the power to hold on and wait. And while you're waiting, you stay in strive. Now, don't sit there and just sit on the porch and say, I'm waiting to fall out of the sky.
I'm
no, you do something
right
in the meantime.
That's
beautiful.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. That's powerful. She said that, man. Woo-wee.
I was just going to say,
Pastor Waller, and I asked that question in all sincerity, not just in, and I know it is important for church and, you know, soul salvation, but I meant like people's everyday lives. We pray on things like the man was talking about him making a sauce and wanting to market it. And, you know, maybe he thinking, well, maybe I'm doing this too soon, or the next person will think I can't because I don't have the clearance from God. You know, how do you know?
Right.
I don't know.
How do
like
you know?
When
that's it, but that's a good one. I like that. This is what happened to me. I'm gonna tell you what I was doing. I was in the midst of all the dope users. I was in the midst of me slanging, and then you know how I didn't know anything about the Bible. I just know only what I know. I'm hearing a voice, and the power of that voice told me to go to church. Now watch this. Here it is. I found out that was a man doing what he always had done. And all of a sudden, change took place. And that man was instructed to go to a certain place to get his instructions so he'll know what to do with the time he had remaining. And I was like, man, that's amazing because
you know, being used to living the lie for so long, I wasn't thinking the truth is going to show up and then guide me. And they say when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he would guide you into all truth.
Okay.
And that's what
okay.
takes place sometimes. You just have to be able to listen and have a keen ear to hear it. I know I wasn't tripping because I didn't do cocaine like, you know, like people be doing crack cocaine, looking on the ground and see if there's somebody down there. I didn't do none of that kind of stuff. See, so,
okay.
you know, and I'm not putting people down to do it, but, man.
No.
It was strange, man. It was strange, man, to hear a voice like that, you know, to tell me something like that.
Pastor, I like where you're going.
Sir.
Let me piggyback off of that. I'm not going to pick on Nicole no more tonight, and I'm not going to pick on 3072 again either. But I'm going to throw this question at 0230. If you don't mind, bear with me, 0230. I think you can probably answer this for us pretty well. Willie Hutch talked about something, and I want you to listen to this just for a second, and then I want to ask 0230 this question.
From the hood, so only I can go back to the hood and solve the problems in the hood. Because I know exactly what the problems are.
Okay.
So I don't have to study the hood.
So you mean Superman can't do it? Superman can't do it?
No.
What about Santa Claus?
No, he can't do it.
The Easter Bunny?
Not at all. They'll cut his tail off.
Surely Jesus Christ can.
But he's within me, so yeah.
Ah, wait now. Wait, stop right there. Pastor, did you just hear that? I'm going to go back to Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind that is where? I'm going to stop right there.
Within me.
Did y'all get that? Can I say something? That's how we're going to fix our problem. Because the mind of the Savior is salvation in every situation. He said, ye shall know the truth. I think of Romans 8 and 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth gonna do what, Pastor?
Come on, ain't gonna make you
free. Gonna make you free.
Set you free, yeah.
And if your mind is in and on truth, you can be free from anything. Go ahead. What do you say, 1080?
I was going to say, but you got to know that scripture, though, what they really mean. Once you understand the truth that sets you free, your feet will begin to move, and it will be you doing it.
Well, you're going to preach here in a minute. That's it.
He ain't started there.
What was that?
I'm going to say, because God is inside, when the truth sets you free, he will lead you, and your feet will begin to move, because you know he ought to equip you with everything that you need ahead of your journey.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Here's my observation. What happens is we've been conditioned to look for these things to come from something or someone outside of ourselves and our resources. So we just sit down on the porch and 3070 wait on somebody else. Yeah, Pastor said, while you're waiting, be proactive and be doing something. Yeah, you're still waiting on God, but do something.
Yeah.
Work towards your goal.
That's it.
You gotta do it.
I tell you what, 030, you're gonna make me come get some sauce in Massachusetts, man.
I'll even cook you a good home cooked meal.
I'm gonna bring the wife with me then. I'm gonna bring the wife with me.
There you go.
Now, so we got Pastor Waller. We're down to 9 minutes and 58 seconds, sir. He got the clock in his hand. I don't know why he'd be cutting that time off on him. But we got that. We're down to it. Pastor, bring some closure to this conversation on overcoming battles in my mind. Can you kind of wrap this up for us a little
bit? Yeah, overcoming the battle of the mind. You know, yeah, that to me, I want to thank really everybody who's been chiming in, man. And I thank God that he's bringing some great information to the table. But as I've the number one thing for me was no longer trusting me, you know, because in my mind, you know, I've talked about it before. I woke up out of a dream, and, you know, the dream was so unique in what I had in my hand. I mean, I just know that it's there. And once I woke up and bankroll wasn't there, man, I mean, it was pretty tough. So it did something to me. And what it done to me was this. It prepared me for the chase. You know, and I started to chase that delusion. And, you know, I messed up a lot of people's lives as a result of that. But to be able to solve the problem, we have to know that there is a solution. And that means that the scripture that you used earlier, man, for those who know that scripture and know how to utilize it and have the mind of Christ, you know, and is inside of you. And the brother said earlier, he that is in you than he that is in the world. And once you start to apply that, you know, you have a what you call a steadfast, you know, rooted and grounded, immovable, always ready to do the will of God. Man, I mean, that's a beautiful thing. I think we need more of that. Reaching out to hurting people. You know, people that are out there that are called up, that, you know, meeting them right where they are. I think that was very unique. And, you know, it's just something I'm going to say this right here. He said, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name.
You'll be where?
And, and if we have him in this, man, it's nothing too hard for God. He works with people. You know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But he said, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And that's where togetherness come in, man. I can just see the flow. So great job tonight, Pastor. You keep doing what you're doing.
We couldn't have done it without you guys. Let me pass, if you will, for a second. 850, I know you've been listening to us, man, and checking us out, and don't want to press you, but I do want, before we leave, if there's any final thought or idea you want to share with, we'd love to hear from you. That's 850-3066. Anything before we get out of here?
I can say I enjoyed the conversation.
Okay. We appreciate having you. Feel free to come back anytime. We're on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. So we're glad to have you anytime.
I sure will.
Okay. All right. Nicole.
Yes, sir.
Nicole, thank you, darling, for inviting others and encouraging them to join us. What I told Nicole I want her to do, she has a specific thing that she and Don, I believe it was, out of Richmond, Virginia, were working on, and some others, and I'd like for her to kind of put that together and perhaps, Nicole, have you kind of lead one of our broadcasts to kind of describe to us and talk to us how that worked and that sort of thing. I think that would be very useful. Would you be open to that?
Yes, sir, I will. Mr. Patrick that's on here now, he's also part of it.
Okay, great. I'll talk with you more and we'll formalize that because I believe that's important. I was noticing the other day, Nicole, that there was an Amber Alert for a little child that was snatched out of home. I'm trying to remember what city it was. But what they're finding is predators are catching these babies online, and they're, you know what I mean? These are children in their own mind battling, and you know what I mean? They feel as though nobody cares about them, And so they become prey to these vultures of the air, you know. So that's a very important conversation. Go ahead. What were we going? Somebody was saying something.
And these predators now can stay from the comfort and confines of their home.
Absolutely.
And entice these children and just go get them.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And they tell
yes,
them they
and
love them and
scary.
Everything.
That's
what's
scary.
Really
yep. So, well, this is our last show in the month of November. Do you realize we're almost in another year? One more month, we'll be in another year. Wow. So, Nicola, I'll talk with you, and perhaps you and Brother Patrick can help us put together a show around that, and we'll try to intimate that because that's a very important topic. We got about 4 minutes. 3072, any last thoughts you want to give us before we get out of here?
Oh, no, I'm just happy I was able to tune in.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you, as well as 1080. 1080, thank you, man, for joining us again. And any final thoughts you want to give before we get out of here?
I don't. I just want to. I really don't.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, that's good enough, man.
It's something. Well, I'm
okay,
going
to say
something.
We're grateful to have you, man.
A lot of time we battle ourselves out here. You got to overcome self out here. We're our own worst critic out here. Careful with all the sad you need. It can discourage you more knowledge you got about stuff. So just take it, folks. You know, one day at a time, and just do you. You got to kind of keep your ears off what other people say, and just stay focused on what's in you, because what God got for you is only for you. So nobody can go back and confirm what God showed you, because God didn't confirm it in them. You got to trust him and believe in yourself.
Okay. Appreciate that. 0230, final thought before we get out of here, man.
I'd just like to say thank you once again for the opening of the mind. And I'll definitely be back.
Okay.
And like the other brother said, what's for you can only be for you. But at the same time, sometimes it takes somebody else to enlighten you to that reality.
That's true.
Praise God.
Okay. All right. Nicole, right quickly before we give Pastor a final thought, and then we're going to prepare to get out of here.
Stop being bullies.
What?
Stop being a bully. No, I love you, brother. I just want to say thank you for having me, and
yes,
y'all doing such an amazing job.
Thank
Let's
you,
keep
Nicole,
it moving.
For everything you do. And for, again, your role here. We appreciate it. All right, Pastor, we got about 2 minutes and 26 seconds. Give us a final thought, and then we'll wrap us up and get us out of here. We'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., Central Standard. Glad to have you. All right, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you. And again, I just want to make it known, man, that the Lord is expecting you to do what we can, and what we are unable to do, I know he would understand that. But here's the key, there's a lot of lost people on the outside, and
absolutely,
we should have compassion for the lost. Because he said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, so pray to the Lord who owns the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest, meaning that he needs somebody to be out there. So if you have a heart for that, get out there and make a difference.
Amen. All right. And with that, we want to encourage you to meet us again here at 7 o'clock. On next Tuesday, www.bfcinstitute.com is the website. We still need your help. So make a contribution to us. We'll be grateful for it, and it's tax deductible. With that, we're going to leave with a special message to a son by Langston Hughes there.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on, and reaching Latins and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.